Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide. Today, will our national debt cause a crash? Oh, phew. I just got off the phone with another client, petrified that the current level of American debt would cause a financial crash. Let's take a more in-depth look at this issue. Now, as you no doubt know, if you read or watch the financial press, there is some constant drumbeat that a complete meltdown in our economic system lies ahead. And the reason? Our $34 trillion in national debt. Look at usdebtclock.org to get a feel for how fast we add to our country's obligations. Undoubtedly, this is a staggering amount of debt, something that no one should argue is in any way desirable. I'm not here to tell you that we're in a good place financially. I wish that this country would bring its spending under control. However, the question that we're looking at today is whether the complete financial collapse, as some are saying, is in our immediate future. I don't think so, but there are some specific examples that we can look at that point to a more harmonious future. Let's use Japan as a case study. Economists consider Japan an analogous case study of the evolving American financial condition. Like the United States, Japan has an aging population, with those citizens of retirement age representing an outside portion of their economy. Like the baby boomers, the Japanese have a substantial portion of their population who are retired and no longer pursuing an active career. Yet they require significant social, health, and other services. It causes the government to spend money on these services for which there is little or no tax revenue. Look at the U.S. top two expenditures, Medicare, Medicaid on one hand, and Social Security on the other. These funds should have been accumulated earlier when the boomers earned good salaries, but as you know, we didn't do that. Instead, we must now borrow the money to pay the boomers' benefits, and our national debt rises. Just how dangerous are these higher debt levels? Well, the U.S. debt level currently exceeds our economy by 12%. In other words, it's 112% of our GDP. Well, that's certainly not a good thing. If Japan were our example, that level of debt to the economy would be manageable, however. Japan surpassed the 12% debt over economy level 21 years ago. And absolutely no one is talking about a significant meltdown for Japan. Today, Japan's debt stands at a whopping 146% above its economy. That is, it's at 264% of GDP. In other words, Japan's debt has more than doubled in the past 21 years. Now, I'm not suggesting that we follow Japan's example and continue adding to our debt pile. Far from it. My only point is that Japan is our model. There is no absolute magic level of debt at which the economy collapses. Bringing our discussion closer to home, using several measures, the United States debt level is currently about the same as it was during the last day of World War II. And like World War II, an outside enemy drove the country to these higher debt levels. This time, that enemy was the COVID-19 pandemic. In 2020, the first year of the pandemic, federal spending skyrocketed. Strategies like the stimulus program, combined with the reduced government revenue from the lockdown, caused the government deficit to balloon to the highest level ever in one year, over $3 trillion. Now today, the United States maintains a credit rating of AA+ by Moody's and AA- and AAA- by Standard & Poor's, with an overall credit score of 97. It's not tremendous, and indeed not a good comparison when, for years, the United States had a credit rating of AAA and a score of 100. But no rating agency sees anything like a default or crash in our immediate future. Now, what would cause a financial crash? So if no magic debt level causes financial meltdowns, what does cause an economic crisis? And the answer for the nation is the same as for any business or individual. Do you have your spending under control? And do you have a plan for paying off and reducing the debt? Wall Street is very good at assessing whether someone is creditworthy. It's what we do. And when evaluating any investment, the first thing we look at is their financial report. Does management have a firm control over their expenditures? Do they only spend what they need and purchase goods and services at a reasonable price? Or are they spending like the proverbial drunken sailor, throwing money around on personal luxuries or other unneeded items? Now, in my prior life, I was responsible for developing a credit report for certain brokerage firms that we wanted to deal with. Now, many of these were small firms just getting started, and I remember walking into one new firm's office, which was the very height of luxury. Plush carpets, wingback chairs, and original artwork on the walls. Anyone would be impressed just walking into the reception room. Well, I voted against doing business with that firm. Why? Because I knew they had little income. Their financial reports, incidentally, are public. Yet they had spent extravagantly, far beyond normal, on office decorations. To me, they appeared to be poor financial managers. And indeed, within 2 years of my visit, they filed for bankruptcy. Now, the United States is like a company or an individual in financial difficulty today. The caution flags are out. However, there is nothing to date to indicate that the U.S. is in imminent danger, and thus far any fear of financial crash is not currently warranted. On the other hand, there can be no doubt that we are headed in the wrong direction. The reality is that we are the number one debtor in the world. It's no time to arrogantly demand that the rest of the world support our spending. Instead, it's time for us to work within the global community and seek their financial support. Like any borrower, we are dependent upon our lenders. Now, more than anywhere else, the current administration has failed here. Cutting Russia from the SWIFT international settlement system was a significant step in fracturing the global world when we needed their international support. China, and Saudi Arabia in particular, reacted negatively to this move. China opened up its own trading system, and Saudi Arabia abandoned the petrodollar. Now, there's a persistent rumor that the administration is behind a scheme to seize $300 billion in Russian deposits held by European and U.S. banks. This would drive yet another nail in the global financial system, a system we need to support our burgeoning debt. Although Russia holds only a tiny fraction of U.S. debt, treasury bonds and notes, it is clear that American policies against Russia affect China, and China has over $1 trillion in U.S. debt. As CNBC and others are reporting, the administration, which is far from controlling spending, continues to use its free spending methods, building our deficit by $1 trillion every 100 days. This is not sustainable, and the global markets have noticed. When the bond markets see something they don't like, they raise the rates they're willing to pay. With the U.S. overspending by about $3.5 trillion annually, we have seen the yield on our bonds rise. Currently, the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield is over 4%, a rate higher than England, Germany, France, and Spain, and 177 basis points higher than China, and almost triple the rates of Japan. And remember, this is not exclusively the result of the Federal Reserve interest rate policy, although that's undoubtedly involved. These higher U.S. rates are also the results of the global financial markets' reactions to our profligate spending. So in summary, that's a long answer. Are we headed towards an imminent financial crash? No, I don't think so. But I want to make a couple of points. The United States is not in danger of a financial crisis, so the panic is unnecessary. And panic is the last thing we want to do. It can help create just the sort of behavior that does create a crisis. The two major financial rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, still rank the U.S. as number 13 in the world, ahead of over 180 countries. Annual government receipts, that's taxes and levies, for the U.S. government are nearly $5 trillion. We can still pay our bills. And if we control our spending, are you listening, Biden administration? We could turn this around rather quickly. The final point is this. The world community is watching. We must pay one of the highest rates in our long-term obligations, those U.S. bonds and notes of over 10-year maturity, because we spend recklessly. Bond investors cannot predict how much the new debt levels we will add over the next several years. More supply of U.S. debt equates to lower prices, something that every investor wants to avoid. We can afford all the necessities, defense, Social Security, Medicare, and high interest rates, but we need to put all that crazy new spending on hold. Several times it has been suggested that the U.S. government freeze its spending at current levels. Now would be an excellent time to implement a freeze. And that's today's Value Side. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.